Blog Talk Radio.
The former skeptical engineer become a believer in supernatural healing, and what led to his use of theta brainwaves to create miraculous healing? Stay tuned. Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, love mentor, and relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series, the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of Healing Through Love seminars, Love Lessons for the Soul, virtual summit packages, and the Love Mastery Secrets Blueprint. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. Brent Michael Phillips was a web and video game developing pioneer at the dawn of the commercial internet era. An MIT graduate, he left his PhD studies at the MIT lab for computer science to cash in on the infinite possibilities that the World Wide Web offered. Success came fast. 20 years later, he discovered a fast path to healing and higher consciousness, which he describes in the first book in his healing trilogy, The Formula for Miracles, where science reveals the secrets of the spirit. So I'm intrigued and I'm looking forward to speaking with you. Welcome, Brent Michael Phillips.
I'm excited to be here. This is great.
Yeah, thank you. And I did read your book. I was excited about it. So please tell us about your background, education, training, how you went from being so skeptical to finally embracing spiritual healing.
Well, you know, I will admit that I am perhaps the world's most unlikely healer. I never thought I'd be doing anything like this because by nature, I'm really just a computer geek. You know, a technologist, a scientist, you know, and I was always very skeptical and rational. And I ended up in college at MIT, and it was there I discovered the internet. And of course, that sounds funny today, but back in the 80s, no one had ever heard of the internet. And so I saw, wow,
right.
You know, this worldwide computer network, this can really change our lives. This is going to be huge. And so long story short, I made that the focus of my studies. I got my bachelor's degree. I continued on to grad school at MIT. I got my master's degree, and I was actually working towards my PhD as part of the group that was became part of what was known as the World Wide Web Consortium. So I was, you know, really one of the world's top internet developers, and that's when the internet boom hit. And I figured, well, heck, you know, I'm perfectly positioned for this. I figured I'd leave MIT, move to California, recruit my lifelong best friend, we'd start an internet company, and then I'd make millions of dollars. That was a great plan, huh? Well, have you heard the old joke? Do you know the easiest way to make God laugh?
To make plans.
Yep, just tell him your plans. So that was my plan,
right.
And things actually got off to a good start. The very first year after I left MIT, we started a website company. I did the very first website for Disneyland. I did the first website for Nissan Motors. I even did the website for the launch of the Sony PlayStation in the summer of 1995. And so a year later, I had 15 people working for me, and you know, you'd really think, wow, I was really on the verge of incredible success. But that's when everything came crashing down, because in order to create the success, I was so driven to succeed, I was willing to work as hard as it took. And I was literally at the office 80 to 100 hours a week. It was just 7 days a week, nonstop, no breaks, no weekends, no holidays. It was just push, push, push. And I started to have some pain and problems in my body. And at first, you know, I just pop some Advil and just drink some coffee and just keep pushing harder. It got so bad that I had to go seek medical treatment. I remember the day it got really bad. There had been a big emotional shock. My girlfriend from MIT had broken up with me overnight for no reason. And I went out to get in my car to drive home, and my hands were shaking so badly I couldn't open the car door. And so I knew that this was something serious. And so I started going to doctors. And at first I wasn't too concerned. I'm like, well, you know, there's something wrong with my health. I'll just go to the doctors and they'll know what to do. And so long story short, the doctors told me I had a really severe case of what they called repetitive stress injuries. And I had a lot of pain and my hands would shake. And it was so bad that I could only drive about 10 minutes at a time, because holding the steering wheel was painful for me. I even had to move in with my parents, because there were a lot of days I was in so much pain I needed help cutting and eating my meals.
Wow.
So I was in really severe pain. And, you know, long story short, I spent 3 years in conventional treatments with the doctors, and I didn't get better. I got worse. And after years of treatment, long story short, the doctors gave up on me. And when I was 27 years old, they told me that I would never go back to work, I'd never be out of pain, and I'd never be able to take care of myself. And I was put on permanent disability, and they literally sent me home to die when I was 27. And I was devastated.
That's amazing.
Yeah, right after that, my partners lost patience with me, because I could barely work at that point. So I lost my position at the company, and my lifelong best friend sold the website company for millions of dollars behind my back. And what I call the cherry on the hot fudge sundae was I also found out he'd been secretly dating the woman that I was crazy in love with. And so it was, you know, what they call it, the dark night of the soul.
It's almost funny.
It is. It's one of those things, a tale so strange it has to be true. If you made this stuff up, no one would believe it, right? You couldn't make this up. And this really happened. And it was truly a dark night of the soul. Everything was going wrong. I was in pain. I was told there was no hope of recovery. I didn't have any money. I was deep in debt. I was living with my parents. You know, I had no possibility of ever returning to a normal life. And, oh, yeah, I had also lost my lifelong best friend, and I had a terrible heartbreak. And so in reaction to that, I got really into positive thinking. And nowadays we call it the law of attraction. You know, back in the 90s we called it positive thinking. And I had a friend who was really gung-ho into it, and he's like, hey, Brent, you know, when life's really got you down, positive thinking is the only way to turn it around. And so long story short, I spent, you know, close to a year as this gung-ho positive thinking warrior. You know, I went to positive thinking seminars and jumped on the stage and high-fived my friends and vision boards and mantras and power words and all that good stuff. And, you know, long story short, I didn't get better. I got worse. So I kind of gave up on positive thinking. And the next thing I turned to was alternative medicine. Because I figured, well, heck, you know, the conventional doctors couldn't help me. They gave up on me. Maybe this alternative stuff can help. And so long story short, I spent 5 years essentially on disability pursuing alternative therapies. And, I mean, you name it, I tried just about everything. Acupuncture and herbs, chiropractors, osteopaths, cranial sacral work, yoga, Pilates, massage, you know, supplements, special diets, cleanses, magnets, electric stims, sonic machine, you name it. You know, I did all this stuff. And long story short, nothing helped me. I didn't get better. I got worse. And it all came to a head in 2003 when I volunteered for an experimental surgery that a doctor thought could really help me. And so I went for the surgery, and when I woke up, my right arm was frozen and paralyzed. I couldn't move it at all. And so that was really rock bottom. On top of everything else, now I couldn't use my arm. So I couldn't drive my car. I couldn't even dress myself. And so things looked totally hopeless at that point. It was then, several months after that, that my Aunt Lauren told me about her friend Terry. And Terry had gotten into some kind of crazy New Age healing. And honestly, you know, I wasn't expecting anything. Because I'd been to, like, you know, Reiki healers and pranic healers and done some energy healing before. And, you know, it never seemed to do anything. But I was desperate. And so I made an appointment, and I went to go see Terry. And, you know, we had a session, and she talked to me about the power of the subconscious and showed me how to talk to the subconscious mind. And we spent about an hour doing this subconscious block-clearing process. And I was thinking, you know, well, it's all well and good to talk about our feelings, but that's not why I'm here, right? I'm here because I'm in a lot of pain and I can't move my arm and I think my life is over, right? And at the end of the hour, she goes, okay, dear, don't worry about your arm. We'll take care of it now. And I was like, yeah, sure, lady, whatever, right? And so she's sitting across the room from me because this is all done with the mind. There's no hands-on or supplements or machines or anything like that. And she just kind of went into this meditative trance. And about a minute later, I felt this like snap and pop inside my elbow. It was the craziest thing. And, you know, I went to move my arm, and I was like, oh, my God, I could move my arm again. And so that was the miracle that turned this skeptical engineer into a seeker. And at that point, you know, I remember I was like, wow, I don't know what just happened here, but I'm going to figure this stuff out. And so I made it my mission. I spent literally the next 10 years of my life spending an outrageous amount of money going around to all these incredible healers and gurus and spiritual teachers to try to learn from them. And you know what? You would think that, hey, Brent, you're so smart. You got this great education. I'm sure that was easy for you. No, it was exactly the opposite. I was so stuck in my head. I was terrible at this. I was the worst of the worst. I actually had a lot of my teachers admit to me, wow, Brent, you know, when I first met you, I actually thought you were hopeless because you were so stuck in your head, I didn't think you could ever get this. But I didn't give up. You know, I knew that there was some code to this. I knew there was a formula.
So what got you out of your head?
Honestly, it just took a lot of time. And to skip ahead a little bit, it was certain techniques of embodiment that's actually very difficult to find in this industry that finally made the breakthrough. It took years. It took me almost 10 years.
Mm.
But one of the aspects that's really important that I teach, and that this is a part of the more advanced material, but there's a lot of places you can go today with the internet and all these great blog shows and podcasts and so on. There's a lot of places you can go to learn spiritual truth. You know, lots of books, lots of seminars, lots of masterminds, right? Lots of places you can go to get some shiny new facts about spirituality into your mind, and that's great. But knowing spiritual truth does not change your life. It's just another fact in the mind. What does change your life is the embodiment of these teachings. And so for me, it took me 10 years of seeking to find the right processes and teachers that couldn't just tell me how life worked, but also allow me to live that and experience it for myself. You know, as an example, we've all heard a million times in different ways that we're all one and we're all connected, right? I'm sure you've heard that, you know, a million times. But almost nobody embodies that. And so I remember back in the 90s, one of my friends had given me Conversations with God to read, and I loved it. It was a great book. And, you know, it has this wonderful message about how we're all connected and we're all one. And I'd, you know, sit in my easy chair on a Saturday afternoon and read my spiritual books, and that was nice. But I didn't embody it, and then I'd get in my car, and 5 minutes later, some idiot would cut me off, and I'd be screaming at him.
Right.
So that's the point, that just because you know some spiritual fact in your mind, it doesn't mean you're living it. Doesn't mean you have embodied that teaching. Because if we actually embodied this teaching that we're all one, we'd all behave very differently, wouldn't we? We really would.
We'd be so much more accepting and kind and empathic toward each other.
Of course, and that's what I want to teach people, at least over the long term, is, you know, first I want to teach everybody the highest truth. That's what comes first. Then I want to help everybody to embody that, to live in a different energy, literally to live in a different consciousness, because that's what really made the huge difference for me. I like to make a distinction between the spiritual and the metaphysical, and they're both incredibly important. They're both really useful. They're just very different. The metaphysical is learning the processes and techniques such as how to do energy healing, how to access a theta state, how to access your intuition, how to do subconscious block clearings, how to do manifestations and clear space and cut cords and all that. Those are powerful and things that everyone should learn. The spirituality is really the highest teachings about what is the truth about us and life and God. How do things really work? And in the combination of those two, there we find the magic. There we find the power to create miracles to change lives.
Absolutely. And I have someone I've studied with for years. He's not alive anymore. Joel Goldsmith, who created The Infinite Way. And he was a healer who healed people just through his meditation and getting to a spiritual truth.
Sure.
He would
just
become so aware of that truth, and it would heal the person or help the person to heal.
Yes. And ultimately, all healing and transformation is accomplished through awareness. That's one of the little secrets. That's a little more advanced. What I found, though, is at the beginning levels, we need a little more support than that. We need more help than that. You can't just tell someone, just have more awareness and you'll be fine, right? that doesn't work very well.
Well,
and so we do find that some
of
these...
These
metaphysical processes using the theta state, the instant healing processes, the block clearing, those are essential foundational steps to get us there.
So talk a little bit about what theta healing is. Just explain some of these things that you're talking about.
Well, the way our lives work is very different than what we think. And so I encourage everybody listening, if you're really ready for a huge breakthrough in your life, the first thing you have to do is let go of everything you think you know. That's essential.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way your life really works and the truth of you and God and the universe is vastly different than what you were taught and what we think. And so to put it quite simply, the way our lives really work is actually very much like a computer. Sounds kind of crazy, but it's the truth. That we've all had our, you know, your laptop, your tablet, your smartphone, whatever, right? We know that these little gadgets are basically just running code, aren't they? So you use your computer, you've got a program on it for your email, you've got a program on it to browse the web, you've got a program on it to play solitaire, to talk through Skype or FaceTime or whatever, right? You got all these different programs. And so there was a blonde joke, I remember, that circulated back in the 90s. And it went something like this. How do you know when a blonde has been using your computer? Well, the monitor is covered with black marker and whiteout. So that's pretty funny, right?
Yeah.
The point being that if your computer isn't working right, you can't get it to work by drawing on the monitor, can you?
No.
That's silly, but that's exactly how we're trained to live our lives. So we try to improve our health, to get more money, to find purpose, to find love, in a way that's essentially drawing on our monitor. That's never going to work, is it? Of course not. Because the way your program behaves is driven by the code. If your program isn't working right, you got to change the code. It's that simple, right? You got to get to the source of the problem. And so all of us, we humans, are like computers full of code. And what is the code? The code is the subconscious mind. And so we have a program inside of us in our subconscious for how much money we make. We have a program for our physical health, for our emotional health, for our relationships, for our sense of purpose, for our intuition, you name it. We have a program for every aspect of life. And in order to make real long-term permanent changes, You can't just draw on the monitor. You've got to change the code. There's something inside of us, this literally subconscious programming. It's like code inside of us that runs everything. And as just a bit of proof of that, we've all heard these stories about all these people that win millions of dollars in the lottery. And they say anywhere from 50 to 80% of them lose all their money, usually within 5 years. That's not a coincidence. It keeps happening over and over and over. It's not a coincidence. It's because we literally have a program inside of us for our prosperity, for how much money we have. And if you just give someone a ton of money, that's like drawing on the monitor. It doesn't actually change their code. And so someone that has a program for a low level of wealth, if you give them $100 million, they'll find a way to lose it. And it's nothing personal. It's just the way we work. And so if you want to make a change in your life, again, it doesn't matter, physical health, emotional health, relationships, money, career, we have to find this part inside of us, this subconscious mind that I call the software of the soul. And that's how I realized that my background in software engineering was in some ways perfect preparation to become a healer. Because I had spent my whole life learning code. And so that's not a coincidence.
You understand. Right.
Yes.
So tell us what theta waves are.
Great. Yes, that's really important. This is an important part of the puzzle. Because most of us know about the subconscious, but to most of us it's sort of nebulous and invisible. We know it's there, but we don't really know how it works or what it can do. And so the theta brain state is one of the keys to this technology, and it's all technology. This is simply technology of consciousness, that the subconscious mind can be accessed if you have the right key. And the key is the theta brainwave. And so the theta state is the brainwave we normally go into when we're asleep and dreaming. But if you can learn to access that same brain state when you're awake, you can actually directly access the subconscious and make changes to it. And so it gives you access to the source code of your life. You can literally rewrite your own programming. If you don't have the theta state, though, it's impossible. It would be like a typical user trying to rewrite their programs without having the source code. That's impossible, right? Good luck, you know, if your Microsoft Word isn't working, good luck trying to fix that, right? Only the people at Microsoft that have the source code can actually do that. But we all have this key inside of us, this theta state.
How do people get to the theta state? What does it take?
There's a lot of different ways. The most traditional method is to practice 20 or 30 years of daily meditation. So that's how you had to do it in the old days. You'd join a monastery or an ashram, and you'd sit in the dark and take a vow of silence and poverty and chastity and obedience, and you would meditate and pray and live a life of servitude. That will work. It just takes 20 or 30 years. Since then, we've developed some shortcuts. One of the easiest shortcuts is known as binaural beats, and it's sort of using technology, especially encoded audios, if you listen to them for long enough, can actually bring you to a theta state. So that's another way to do it. Shamanic drumming, chanting, there's a lot of spiritual practices that will actually do it. I have an incredible shortcut. I have two shortcuts that I use. Number one is, I do for people who are first learning what I teach, have the encoded audios that will actually, just by listening to them, can open your subconscious and do some recoding. Even better, those that want to come and want to learn this, in a few hours, I have this process that we call the metaphysical macros. And don't worry about the jargon. But essentially what I've done is I've spent a couple decades writing code in the subconscious for how to do healing, for how to do subconscious clearing, for how to do manifesting, all these things. And I have a technology where with just an hour or two of training, I can literally download these new codes into your subconscious mind, and you will have the ability to get to that theta state in seconds. So it's an amazing
shortcut. Oh, it sounds amazing.
Right. And this is why.
I was going to say next. I'm sorry. that you have your formula for miracles. Please tell us about that, but finish what you're going to say.
The formula for miracles is the application, the system that this is all part of. That with the formula for miracles, with this technology, either using the encoded audios or by putting, you know, just a few hours of training, which you can do online even, I can teach you how to access the theta state and to do instant healings, to clear the subconscious, to download new neural pathways into your brain and nervous system, to do all these things. And it's very, very easy. Because when I learned this, learning healing took some time, right? You had to go to a lot of trainings. You had to practice a lot. You know, you had to work a lot with the masters and the gurus. And it was a difficult and expensive and time-consuming process. It was kind of like back, if you go back in time to the, you know, the 60s, there really wasn't a commercial software market. If you wanted a program for a computer, you had to write it, or you had to hire somebody to write it. Right, and that was difficult, it was expensive, and it was time-consuming. Nowadays, though, there's not much need for that. For most of us, the programs we want, we can just download off the Internet, right? That's what I've done for the world of healing, for working with the subconscious law of attraction. I've created all these codes that I can literally just put right into you. And learning to do healing...
So you have taken your training... your computer training and knowledge for consciousness.
That's exactly right. And so what I've done is, you know, what I've done with this world of healing and consciousness intuition is exactly what they trained me to do at MIT. I studied it. I took it apart. I figured out how it worked. And I put it back together and made it better. And I'm the first to admit, I didn't invent this stuff, right? I was not born a healer. I was not born some incredible psychic. Nothing like that. You know, what I am is an engineer and a scientist. And I brought that training and that experience to this world of the new age, the energy healing, the law of attraction, to find the code, to figure it out, to strain out all the fluff and the nonsense and the filler, to find what's real here. Because you know what? You're right. When you introduced me, you said, I absolutely used to be a skeptic. 100%. And, you know, I had heard about these things, but I didn't accept it as real until I experienced it for myself. You know, sitting that in Terry's apartment that day back in 2003 when my elbow went pop and all of a sudden I can move it again without pain, that was just the first of many miracles. There's been many, many more since then. I mean, that's why I call it, there is a formula for miracles. Right. There's... you know, I've experienced healing. I had terrible migraines. I even had a form of cancer once. Allergies. I mean, I could go on and on just from my personal stuff. But I've seen well over 1,000 miracles happen for my clients and students. And so that's not
a coincidence. And for yourself.
Yes, and for myself and my family. That's not a coincidence. Those that go to my website at awakeningdynamics.com, You won't find one or three or eight testimonials. You'll find hundreds. You know, there's literally hundreds of testimonials from my clients about their experiences with this process. And I'll just emphasize, that's not a coincidence. It's because there is
a
code underneath
this,
and everyone can learn it. Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. So why is it that so many people study the law of attraction, or they go for healings and different modalities and they don't heal? What would you say is the thing stopping the healing or interfering with it?
That's a great question. There's a lot of answers. The most common one, the most important, is simply the subconscious blocks. That, you know, we do have code inside of us that literally creates our lives. And if you have code inside of you that says you need to be sick or in pain, you're not going to let the healing in. And it's not your fault, it's just the way the code works. As an example, a lot of people, not everyone, but a lot of people have a powerful block that says that I have to be sick or I have to be in pain to get attention. And I had this one, this is one of mine, that Tara cleared on me. And a lot of us get this in childhood because some of us, when we grow up, the only time our parents give us attention or really pay attention to us is when we're sick or when we're hurt. And so we learn that as a mechanism to manipulate our parents. But the trouble is, you create this code in childhood, and it runs in the subconscious your whole life. And so that's just one example. That's not going to be the key for everybody. But we have all these codes inside of us. Most of them are genetic, so most of them are inherited from our ancestors. A lot of them are picked up in childhood that literally continue
so
to run our whole lives.
That brings me to another question that I know you've talked about past life memories and old contracts. Just share a little bit about how you work with that.
Sure. Really what it comes down to is the subconscious, I call the software of the soul. It is literally the code that creates your life. And there's different ways that stuff gets into the subconscious. The biggest contributor is genetics. And the truth is, most of the subconscious code, you were born with it. And it's crazy because we have no idea what's in there, right? We have no idea because we're carrying all these codes from dozens or hundreds of our ancestors back hundreds of years. A lot of it forms in childhood. There's also what we call past life memories. In other words, we're carrying code from other people's experiences that lived in other times and places. This is a very real phenomenon. And the last and the most esoteric piece would probably be the soul contracts, that a lot of our code is chosen by us before we're born to give us the right opportunity to have the experiences we need to have in life. As a simple example, let's say that your soul contract is to overcome pain and illness and become healthy and become a healer. Well, in order to achieve that, you have to be born with a lot of codes that will make you sick or unhealthy. Otherwise, you couldn't overcome it. And so this was part of my journey, that I had a lot of childhood illness. You know, I almost died a bunch of times, hospitalizations. And because I had so many struggles with my health, that put me in a great position to then learn to overcome it. So you put it all together. Go ahead.
You're giving us a new perspective. I mean, many of us have that perspective already, but it changes the way we view illness and problems in our life, whatever they are.
That's right. That every crisis, every pain point is also an incredible opportunity for spiritual growth. And when we get into the more advanced levels of what I teach, so the formula for miracles, working with the subconscious, creating miraculous healings, the subconscious stuff, that's just a foundation. That's very easy to learn. Actually, very easy to master. Most people can master that. Literally, you can become a master healer in a matter of months. That's all it takes with this technology. It's very fast. It's very easy. Then we get into the more advanced material of awakening and embodiment, where we come to understand the real nature of ourselves in life. And when you get that, that's really the turbocharged acceleration of consciousness. That's when we get into the more advanced teachings. You can learn to bend time, to change the weather, to see energy and auras with your open eyes. But most importantly, you'll get peace. When you understand why we suffer and know how to turn that suffering into freedom, then you won't see it as just this baggage or this burden to get rid of. You'll see that every bad thing that happens in life is actually a gift and an opportunity. And that's a game changer. That's what I call the beginning of the end of suffering.
No, that's beautiful. So tell us about your books and how people can get in touch with you.
Sure. Anyone that's interested to learn more, I would love not just to talk to you about it. I would love for you to experience what I'm talking about for yourself. That's very important to me. And so if you hop over to my website at awakeningdynamics.com, that's awakeningdynamics.com. There's some fun stuff there. There's a spiritual IQ quiz you might want to take. A box will pop up. You can just put in your first name and email, and I will send you an invitation. I'm going to give you several bonus gifts. You'll get in your email the first volume of my book, series The Formula for Miracles. You'll get that for free. I'm also going to give everybody an invitation to join me at once a month. I do a group block clearing call where you can come, and I will teach you how to communicate with your subconscious and you can submit blocks that I will clear for you. So everybody can join us at that. You'll get that in your email. I do that usually the first Monday of every month. I also generally do a live webinar every month called a Healathon. And so I will talk a little more about these processes and how they work, but more importantly, we have more time and I'm able to guide everybody through some interactive hands-on experiences. So you can actually learn to experience these things for yourself, because that's very important to me. And so again, that's awakeningdynamics.com. Anybody that is interested, opportunity came up right now, not a coincidence. It's been a while since I've been able to take on any new private session clients, but I do have a couple openings right now. So anybody that really feels called to this, again, you just go to my website at awakeningdynamics.com. You'll see on the top menu there's a link called Private Sessions. There's a short application to fill out, and I review those with my assistant every couple of days. And those who are interested in doing one-on-one work, if you apply and we feel that there's a good match, you know, we'll get back to you and follow up. So, you know, I like to say that there are no coincidences in life. It's just connections we don't see. Just like it's not a coincidence that I was a software engineer before I became a healer. I had to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was only my experience in software that allowed me to understand how healing really works. It works just like software. And so I don't think it's a coincidence that I'm here right now at a time when I'm able to take a couple new clients on. Must be a coincidence.
Wow. Your coincidences are powerful. So, wow, thank you so much for sharing about your work. And it's really exciting to me. I've studied many different techniques, and to see the way you've put it together with your background, pretty amazing.
And, you know, I'm really glad you said that because, again, I didn't invent any of these things. What I did was I figured out how they worked. I synthesized them. I integrated them. And so probably like
a scientific training and background to interpret.
Right. What I was able to do was to literally go to 1,000 seminars, read 10,000 books, do you know, hundreds of sessions with people, and find the gems. That I found a lot of great teachers that had one ability, one talent, one insight that was really powerful. And so I took the gems and the best of the best, and honestly, that's what scientists do. You know, what Einstein said, we all stand on the shoulders of giants. And so I approach healing and spiritual work more like a scientist. I see it as a collaboration, that we're all contributing to this knowledge. And I've tried to take the best of the best and make it really easy to learn. Because, again, I'm not a natural healer or a natural intuitive or anything like that. If I have a natural talent, it's that I have an ability to take very complex and difficult subjects and concepts and make them easy for people. That's really what I've done with this.
That's powerful. So I am so grateful for you to participate in my show today. It's just beautiful.
Well, it's been excited to be here, and I hope we've been able to reach out and change some lives together.
Yes, thank you. And to those of you listening, I look forward to speaking to you again soon.